To the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I am Tay, Eric Taylor, and we are all bracketed up. Sweet 16, March 25th. I got to send out a shout out, man. RIP to my father, William Kid Taylor. Today would be his 81st birthday, so shout out to my dad. Ah, miss you, love you. Listen, do you want to join us on the show, on the adventure? We're hyped up, 718-664-9098. Please send us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Go to our website, rayandtaytoday.com. We got a lot of polls, and, you know, you can see our brackets, see how Ray and I are doing and everybody. And tweet at us, man. We've been tweeting away with all the Duke fans, the Gator fans, the Hoosier fans. So it's been a lot of fun. So that's RAEANDTAY today at Twitter. So, Ray, let them know how we getting down with this basketball show.
So we're flipping it on its side. So usually we bring you breaking news in the beginning, but we're just going to get right into it. We're going to get right into the brackets, bracketology, bracketism. Yeah, we're going to talk some NCAA hoops. Wow. Some great hoops. We got double-digit seed, four of them in the Sweet 16. So great. We've got a lot of, you know, fun, interesting stuff to bring you related to college basketball in this year's tournament. So we'll spend most of the show on that. And then towards the second half of the show, the end of the second half, we'll bring you some NBA news. We got some two really hot teams in the NBA, the Heat and the Nuggets. We've got some other things happening in the NBA. We've got some NFL news. We've got some golf news. So we'll bring you that, too. We bring you news from around the world of sports. But without further ado, let's get into NCAA March Madness 2013 style. Not Gangnam style, but 2013 style, which is upset special style. I love it.
Well, you know what? Obviously, people could say their favorite upset, the Florida Gulf Coast, before, you know, Saturday and Sunday, people were loving Harvard, and then Harvard, you know, got it handed to them. But so many great games, so many great upsets. But right now, I think the whole nation is now a Florida Gulf Coast fans. I mean, the team is just ridiculous. They are not a 15 seed. I mean, last night, everybody on Twitter was like, how are these guys 15 seeds? Because they're just incredible. And kudos to them. You know, the first time ever a 15 seed has made it this far to the Sweet 16. And, you know, you don't know who could have done something like that. But these guys, they beat Miami during the season. They go ahead and put it on Georgetown. And then they put it on San Diego State. I mean, it's just so impressive. I like Brown. I like Feeler, the point guard that stirs it up too. I mean, they're ridiculous. What were you thinking when you saw this?
The coach had some NBA, you know, experience, worked for some guys in college, and he said, look, I've stolen from them, but not in a bad way, but in, look, they shaped who I am. And frankly, I got to tell you.
Well, he's a Terp.
Well,
give him some love. He went to Maryland for grad school.
That school is going to get some crazy enrollment. Did you see their campus? They're basically on a beach. People are jet skiing between classes.
I know.
Might be the new place to be. It's funny.
Can we do it all over again? Can we go to Florida Gulf Coast?
Exactly. It's pretty funny that, you know, they beat Miami of Florida, and we'll get into that in a sec. But just a side story, I always thought that Miami of Florida, because of the football program and because of where they are in Coral Gables, would just be unbelievable basketball program, that all the kids would want to go there. So maybe you need an upstart like Florida Gulf Coast to really shake up you know, the recruiting world, and cats might start going down to Florida and go play
basketball down there. It's going to start, right? It should start because Miami's got a good team. It's about the right coach. Larrañaga's a great coach, and then this guy, Coach, they call him Coach Andy, he's turning out to be a pretty good coach too.
So you know what? So let's stay in that bracket. Let's keep it in the South bracket, and let's say, all right, so Florida Gulf Coast, we love them. They beat San Diego State 81-71. The thing that I take away from both of those games is they were the better team, both of those games, right? We'll get to another team, Marquette, that you could argue they're 2-0, but they weren't necessarily the better team. They could have been 0-2 if they played both.
I picked Marquette, baby.
No, that's a great pick, but
I know.
Williams said they could be. But Florida Gulf Coast, they were the better team. Yeah, that three guard, essentially they play four guards, and Brown can go in and out. You know, they are a tough team. Now, keeping it in the state of Florida, right, so they're going to play Florida next round. We'll get into that a little bit in our preview. But what'd you think about this Florida-Minnesota game? Now, we both liked Minnesota coming out of the Big Ten. We thought that they had some nice talent, and Mbakwe up front, and they have some guards, and the Hollins brothers, and so forth.
They played their hearts out. They played their hearts out. But, you know, I thought Florida would win, and they, you know, they did, but they fought. You know, I give them credit. They stayed around. They came back. They were down. They were not going to give up. I think that's the one thing you felt about Minnesota. You know, they didn't have a great shooting night, but they just, the defense, everything about them, they were just alive, man. You know what I thought was most interesting is that Florida, Rosario, man, he hit some shots coming off the bench, and, you know, it was an adjustment, you know, for him transferring and not getting the playing time and being a backup. And they were talking about that on the show. But, yeah, he, the whole team and Murphy, you know, and it seems that, you know, Murphy, the whole family plays basketball. They're all over the place. But, you know, the brother's on Duke's bench behind Kelly. So I don't know. I got to tell you, I think that the Gators, you know, that we both have them in the Final Four, I think that they could be well on their way, you know. But Florida Gulf Coast, like you said, we'll get into the predictions and talking about these Sweet 16 matchups more so on Wednesday. But Florida Gulf Coast, they're legit. They can, you know, I don't know size-wise if they could stop Murphy. So that could be, you know, the issue. But
yeah, well, what about that other game, that 4-5 game that I was just so sad for VCU to think that they got a 4 seed in Michigan that really was just too, we both called this, but it was really too much
handle. Right, and it was our show on Saturday, and we were on the air with it, and Michigan just, it was a track meet, and you know, it was so funny, you almost could have said, hey, Shaka, maybe the best way to beat them is not to, you know, go with the Havoc and press them because they have too many guards and Hardaway and Burke and all these guys that can handle the ball. Michigan handled
the
press perfectly. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I know you don't change who you are per se, right? I mean, you are who you are, and that's why you got there. But it was the worst, you know, collision for VCU. And Michigan, you know, they look good. I got to tell you, Ray, Michigan looks good. I don't know if Kansas is going to be ready for Michigan because the way that Michigan plays, if they don't get McLemore going and Elijah Johnson keeps, you know, shooting up bricks and McLemore stays cold, you know, Whiffy can't carry them but so much.
Well, they had a great game from Relaford. And if they could get
Relaford and also the other big guy, Young, but still,
yeah.
You know, Whiffy, what, 16, 5 blocks? I mean, 17 rebounds? Whiffy was incredible. So I think Michigan, you know, hey, give Kansas credit, right? They came back. They were down 9 at the half. Tar Heels had them. But, you know, this Tar Heel team, they're not that good. McAdoo is not, you know, the superstar NBA player that they thought he would be. Maybe he even comes back one more year, right? Oof, can you imagine? But the Tar Heels are a year or two away. You know, Roy's got some recruits coming in, but Kansas was just a little bit too versatile and talented for him and too big. So
yeah, it was a tale of two halves, and I thought that Carolina played about as well as they could play, and they were only, quote-unquote, up 9. Now, remember that this game was 40 minutes from the campus in Lawrence, so the crowd was decidedly Kansas, which is ironic because Carolina travels big. And so when Carolina goes and plays at the ACC tournament, which is usually somewhere in the state of North Carolina, you know, in Greensboro or in Charlotte or wherever, or if they travel anywhere in the east or southeast, Carolina is usually the team that is the big gorilla, right? Carolina and
right. But Kansas and Kentucky travel even better than North Carolina.
Right.
They really do.
But that was one of those things where I'm sure the Carolina kids were not used to being in a neutral, quote-unquote, court where everybody and their mama and their grandmama was rooting for
Jayhawks.
Was rooting for Kansas. Yeah, it was Jayhawk Nation. So Carolina played as well as they could in the first half. They just ultimately the cream rose to the top. Kansas has a better team. Kansas has more talent. Kansas is bigger. Kansas is deeper. So the better team won, I think, from Carolina perspective, and we're both big Carolina fans. I thought, you know, losing the four NBA players that they did. And then
well, I was
going to
say, what would you have thought if this team had Kendall Marshall?
Wow.
It could have been different, right? Because Page is really, he's not that he's bad, but he's a young point guard. And Bullock, you know, you kind of need that experience in the backcourt. And I think Marshall would have made this a whole different team.
He would have, although the problem is really size and you know, sort of wing
right, not
wing
having the size
players. Yeah, so I'm not sure. Look, Kendall Marshall probably means they're not an 8 seed, probably means they are a, you know, maybe a 4 or 5 seed, so maybe it's just a better matchups. They don't hit the number 1 so quickly. So maybe they do make it to the Sweet 16, and maybe he works on his game, and he's not, you know, riding the pine.
Sitting on the bench, not playing in
behind,
Phoenix. It's
behind Goran Dragic, though. That's the point. Goran can play. But,
so anyway,
Carolina, look for them next year, especially if James Michael McAdoo comes back. That would be nice. But, Kansas, Michigan. So in that bracket, it's pretty, you know, pretty standard stuff, except for a 15 seed. So we got a 15, and then we got 1-3-4. So we got one mega upset because, obviously, Florida Gulf Coast took out Georgetown in the first round. But we've got, the rest was chalk, you know, 1-3-4 in the, in the Sweet 16. So let's move on. Let's go out west for a minute. So remember, out west, Gonzaga went down.
Yeah.
The Ziggy Zags.
Got to love that with Team Wichita State. My man, Baker, the three-point maker. That's what I call him, Ron Baker, the three-point maker.
Shocked the world, the number 9, taking out a number 1.
You know, it's so funny. I had Gonzaga losing. I just had him losing to Pitt. So I picked the wrong team to beat him. But I got to say, you know, I wasn't surprised. I like Olenek and Stockton's son, but the three-point shooter, what's his name, Schrager or whatever, he was off. And they couldn't do enough to stop Wichita.
Yeah.
Wichita kept coming and coming and coming. And so many clutch plays at the end, getting rebounds and doing whatever they needed to do. And Baker hit that shot. It was beautiful, man. I think watching that game, you know, you and I are calling each other and you have to whisper on the phone and stuff. Tyle's wife needs to sleep, and I'm just like, yo, you know, we're going back and forth, and it's crazy because, you know, this is what it's about. When teams like Wichita State and Florida Gulf Coast and LaSalle win, you have to pick up the phone and call your friends because it's such a story. It's so, you know, the madness, that's what it is. It's March Madness, but it's March Happiness because everybody gets so happy and excited because you root for these kids because you see their blood, sweat, and tears on the court. And it's just a great story, man. I'm thrilled to death, you know.
So the Shockers shock Gonzaga, and then at the bottom of the bracket, you get a 12, or the other side of that, you get a 12 versus a 13. So you got 12 Ole Miss and 13 LaSalle. Now, you called me on Wednesday, truth be told, and you said, look, watch out for this LaSalle team. When you saw them on Tuesday, you said, this team can do some things. And
I
so,
sure enough did.
A 12-13 matchup that was a pretty interesting one. Now, Henderson, look, I don't know if I could coach that kid.
No.
He is, you know, he'll win you games.
He's fun. He's fun. But you
know,
very sloppy with the ball. He didn't have a good game. He really, you know, he couldn't get into the flow.
Yeah, I think he had 21 shots. So
what did you say? Oh, 21 on 21 shot. Yeah, I mean – I don't know, LaSalle, look, I love their guards, Ramon Galloway. You got to love
Did you see that final play?
Duren, yes.
That
was incredible, man. I mean, their team, I like Garland, Tyrone Garland. This team is nice, man. I mean, and, you know, let me tell you something. All season, you know, those were their sort of their big three. You know, Garland, and, I mean, Galloway's their leading scorer at 17 a game. Duren is their second at 14, and then Garland at 13. But this team, they just kind of, they come at you in waves and keep coming and coming. And LaSalle, and also don't forget Jarrell Wright, LaSalle, they are loaded. I mean, I think that this team, the talent, they're a lot better than you think. And they rep the A-10 better than St. Louis, right? St. Louis got smacked by Oregon, and everybody's thinking St. Louis is going to go play Louisville. And Oregon has something to say about that. Shout out to George Reiser and Sammy Parker, our Duck friends and fans on Twitter and stuff. And all the, you know, Ducks alum, but you got to give LaSalle a lot of credit. They are the stars right now of the A-10 and the 13 seed. Hey,
well, you know what's great?
They'd be the story, right, if it wasn't Florida Gulf Coast. They'd be the
right,
story.
Right, but here's the thing. So we talked about the other region being chalk until Florida Gulf Coast comes around. So this region, you have a 9 and a 13 playing. So we're guaranteed in the Great 8 to have a 9 or a 13 seed.
It's pretty awesome.
So that's great. If LaSalle wins, and it's a 13 seed in the Great 8, and obviously if Florida Gulf Coast wins, it'll be a 15 seed. So that's great. Now, the bottom half of that West bracket, you know, I don't know we need to say much about this. I mean, shout out to Harvard and Tommy Amaker and the fact that, you know, he lost his two best players in the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
but
who can
Arizona
do that,
had
man?
Too much. Arizona beat him 74-51, and it was just
like
a case of...
Like they stole something.
Yeah, that's just a case of... The Harvard
talent.
Kid shot what, 26-27% from the field. You just don't win games like that. They just had a bad game, and you just can't have a bad game against a team that's more talented.
But also, Arizona plays pretty good defense. You got to give them credit. They get after it. You know, I like their team, Nick Johnson and Lions. They got Solomon. They got some players. They are probably
Sean
the
Miller's
best
got
team.
Got a nice little program going there. And
oh, definitely. And you know what? I got to tell you, he's a great recruiter. I mean, kids want to play for him. He's a star out here in Arizona, and he's, you know, I think, you know, look, they got to get used to him still. He's an East Coast guy, and he's not Lute Olson, right? But he's solid. He's very humble, you know. He, you know, even at the half, he's like, oh, you know, it's not what we did, you know, what they did, and yada, yada, yada. You know, so I just think he's the right guy for the program, you know. And it's so funny because you talk about the West Coast and basketball, and you look at Oregon, but, you know, it's sort of sad, you know, the day after they lose or 2 days after they lose, and Ben Howling, 10 years, 3 Final Fours, gets fired from UCLA. And, okay, so the last 3 years they got bumped in the first round. But in 10 years he got to the 3 Final Fours.
Back to back. There's only been one other Pac-10 team to even go to the Final Four.
Pac-12, yeah.
Well, Pac-12, with the Pac-12.
I know.
But here's the thing. You know, when it comes to Ben Howland, I think they said it best on ESPN. They said, you know what, this is probably the best thing for both parties. I mean, you hate to see a guy lose his job, right? And so I definitely don't wish that on anybody. But it felt like, and we've got some UCLA fans, and they've called into the show, and Jay Fong and a few other people. You know, Seth Davis was talking to one of our UCLA fans.
Mm-hmm.
That marriage was never holy. For some reason, even when he was winning – Ben Howland wasn't a UCLA kind of guy. And he came after Lavin, and Lavin had the slick back hair. And, he, you know, even though he grit his teeth and kind of earned his stripes in West Lafayette, you know, with Purdue, he kind of came into his own in UCLA, and he was more of that L.A. kind of guy, you know, outgoing and with the alums and all that stuff. So similar to what we talk about in football, sometimes you get fired because you don't have good relations with
playing
the alums.
Playing golf with the alums, yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
I feel like Ben
Howland
is not that guy. But he did it on the basketball court. He was able to bring this recruiting class of Adams, Muhammad, and Kyle Anderson, and now apparently next year is even better. And so he's got some crazy.
And don't forget about Tony
in.
Parker, he has too. Was a good recruit.
Paulie Pavilion.
Yeah. Well, look,
anyway,
he's leaving the program.
Ben be better off. Yeah,
right. And he's leaving it in probably, you know, better shape than it was when he started. So I give him props for that. And you know, Muhammad, who we find out is 20, you know, wound up dropping 20 in the loss and one assist. I don't know if he's releasing this, you know, now I'm 20 or whatever, this discrepancy, because he wants to sort of seem a little bit more mature for the NBA teams and NBA scouts. Like, oh, you're not getting a young kid, you're getting a young man. So either way, it was just stupid and unnecessary, and I guess it's just a shame that kids lie about their age. But this happens, and we spoke to Ricky Rivers about this on our program with the high school kids, but this is something that he told me. A lot of kids or parents are keeping their kids back so they can have a little bit more strength, age, and maturity for basketball. And,
that's happening,
you know, I guess it happens
in society.
In football,
think
too.
About it. That's happening in society. So,
yeah.
Of course, in sports and athletics it's going to happen because
it's I guess
makes a difference.
No, that's a good point. So I guess we can't just knock
early
the parents for sports and basketball because it happens in the, you know, everywhere else. But I don't know. It's just weird to me. I mean, I understand if your birthday kind of falls on the calendar, you know, a certain calendar year, you know, whatever. You know, each state has different cutoffs, whether it's February or this or that. But I don't know. It's just weird. But anyway, it is what it is. So
let's
what'd
go with
you
the
think
last
about?
Game in that bracket. Yeah, Iowa State
right.
and Ohio
Iowa
State.
State.
So you know what? It's pretty funny because the Big Ten has four teams in the Sweet 16.
Yeah,
they could have easily
their best
had
conference.
Two teams, but they could have easily had two teams.
No,
their
Iowa State played
teams,
their butts off.
Their best two teams, Ohio State and Indiana, could easily have lost. And
they were
both losing with a couple minutes to go, and they were sweating it. And I tell you
but
what.
But how about Kraft? How clutch was that? I mean, I know we could talk about the call, but he had his foot above the line. But how about just, you know,
give him credit
for
getting there. That's not his man.
Yeah.
He's coming from the weak side. He's the
That's
third defender. The man
and even Kenny Smith in the studio was like, give him credit for having, you know, his foot up. You know, he wasn't on the line. It was above the line, which still is, you know, a penalty and a blocking foul. But I love the fact that he just dribbled it out. He waved off Thomas, and he said, I got this.
Who's by far a more talented offensive player, right?
Definitely.
Thomas is their best player.
He's
and is
their go-to guy.
Certainly their best
but
offensive player.
You just felt that confidence and that ice water in the senior, and he just hit the shot, man. He hit the shot.
And
it was beautiful.
And again, the ice water, come back to that. He goes 1-for-2 on his free throws. He misses the jumper with 20 seconds left, and luckily it goes off the luckily for Ohio State, it goes off the Iowa State defender's hands, and so he gets another chance. And instead
I was surprised
saying,
he missed
a
free throw, though.
Yeah, I missed a free throw, and I missed basically a free throw jumper. I'm going to wave off the All-American, the first-team All-American, the guy who's averaging 20, the best scorer, and I'm going to take this.
Yeah.
And he hits it. Clutch three. For a guy who's not a great shooter. You know what? Sometimes, and we'll talk about this on another show, sometimes you just got to give credit, offensive players credit, and then you also just got to give kids credit for being great college players. Aaron Kraft is not going to be Michael Jordan, and he's not going to be, you know, Tim Duncan.
He might be a backup point guard.
If that. Might go to Europe, go wherever. But this is a guy who, at the college level, gave all he had and was a superb college basketball player.
Just the Harvard coach,
not a pro prospect,
Tommy Amaker.
Yeah. Well, Tommy was Tommy went to Duke, and Tommy was a prize recruit, and he, you know, moved Johnny Dawkins over to the two and stuff.
But no, but I'm just saying Tommy was not an NBA player either, and he
right. No, for, in that respect, for sure.
Yeah, he gave what all that he could in college. You know, some of these guys that you talk about that are not going to be NBA players, but you see them in college, they just, you know, they stay there 4 years, and they rep their university, and they Kraft is easily one of the best point guards in college basketball, even though he's not
for
a
pro. For sure.
But
so
how about Iowa State?
Bracket,
you got to give
them
some love, though,
credit.
Real quick.
They played hard. They could have easily won this game.
That's a good
they
team, though,
tough.
Ray. Be honest. When you think about them, look, now, obviously, it's you know, we're looking after. But now looking and really watching them play, I maybe saw them, if I'm honest, saw them once during the season in the Big 12. Iowa State is nobody's 10 seed. they're good.
Yeah, they're
not
very
a 10
good.
Seed, man.
They're very good.
Woo!
You know,
them and Oregon should have been seeded much, 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 much lower.
Well, yeah, and we can get into that, you know, till the cows come home. And we do, and we like to talk about it, but that's the beauty of this tournament is you play six games. At the end of the day, a number one seed isn't guaranteed of anything. You're only guaranteed to play a 16 seed. Other than that, that's it. So, yeah,
yeah,
I was
you gotta
glad
earn
to
it.
See, I was glad to see Iowa State give them a run for the money. So wrapping up this bracket, so the first bracket we had one major upset. In this South bracket, we've got a 2, a 3, a 6, and a 9. So the 2 plays the 6, right? And then the 9 plays the 13. So would you say that, remember we talked about it last time on Saturday, we asked, who does this benefit? Now, do you think that this benefits Ohio State now? Is their road to the Final Four, you know, easier than any, you know, than
I don't know,
because
I got
to
say Arizona
have to play tough teams.
Yeah, Arizona's pretty tough, and then, you know, the Wichita. I don't
Florida
know.
Florida Gulf Coast winner.
Yeah, well.
I mean, the Wichita LaSalle winner, sorry.
Yeah, Wichita LaSalle winner. I think that the way it's looking, Ohio State, they still got a rough road. Arizona's playing great, and so is LaSalle and Wichita. I can't tell you that LaSalle or Wichita would lose to Arizona or Ohio State. Nobody can just say that in their right minds. You could say it by the seeding and by the pedigree of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, but just from watching basketball, no way you can say it. So we'll just have to wait and see. It's going to be – I mean, you almost hate to see LaSalle and Wichita State playing each other, right? You almost want to see LaSalle versus Arizona and Wichita State versus Ohio State,
right?
To be honest. You know, I don't want to see LaSalle and Wichita State knock each other out. Because they're so much fun to watch. So.
But the good thing is one of them is a guarantee into the Grade Eight. So that's actually
no.
That's
I think
actually
that I think that's
cool.
I think that's great. I think that's
all right,
great.
Well,
let's go.
Move
you
want
to go to the Midwest?
Midwest, yeah. Let's go to the Midwest. And I think
Louisville.
Yeah, we can be quick on this one. I mean, Colorado State actually had a decent season, and they just ran
they
up
into good for
a
little
bit.
Ball. Give them credit. They
yeah,
played good
they
for a little bit.
Couldn't deal with the depth and the roster of Louisville, and so that's you know a 26-point loss. So Louisville took care of business, 82-56. The next game, Oregon against St. Louis. And again, Oregon's nobody's 12 seed. And they end up winning also by big margin. They win by 17. So they pulled away in the second half.
This was the biggest surprise so far to me. Besides, you know, the major upsets. But to see Oregon... I mean, they win 74-57. To see them sort of – they kind of dominated St. Louis. St. Louis didn't look like – for a while, they couldn't get a rhythm. They couldn't – they just couldn't go. And Oregon's guards and, oh, my gosh, that Oregon team, you got to like their balance. I like them. I really like the Oregon team.
Yeah, so now they get Louisville, right? The grand prize.
Well, yeah, I don't like them that much.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? Louisville is the number one overall and number one in this bracket, and they're playing like the best team so far. Louisville's been playing great, so give them credit. They're not you know, they're representing the Big East really good, and I think they're going to take Oregon out.
Okay. Yeah. And, all right, the bottom of that
Memphis,
bracket
yeah.
is heavyweights. So
Woo!
Michigan State against Memphis. And Memphis has all the athletic ability you would ever want in a basketball team. And they gave Michigan State, you know, all they wanted in the first half and into the second half. But eventually, first of all, Gary
Harris.
Yeah, they held them to 48. Gary Harris was doing big things, 14 in the first half. And then Adrian Payne in the second half. Really
yeah,
what
did he get,
over.
16 and 10 or something like that? Adrian Payne
yeah,
is a
and again, we were talking about him as a guy that came out of nowhere and is making himself a lot of money as a potential, you know, NBA prospect. So,
yeah, I like that whole team, though. I think Appling's playing well. Nick's,
and he's
you know,
hurt,
the big
though.
Guy.
So the question is, can Appling
Izzo.
Come back and be ready for the game, you know, on this week? So on Friday they play.
We'll see. I think they... You know, I think they're saying that he might be okay. So we'll see. But, yeah, you're right. And then we'll look down here, And Duke survived, and they beat Creighton pretty easily, 66-50. Creighton was in it for a minute, but they never really had the rhythm. Duke kind of just kept them at bay pretty much the whole game. And I think Duke's doing good, and they're handling things. But to be honest, they're not playing that great. And Ryan Kelly, since he came back and had that great game against Miami, Kelly has not played that great. So I could see Michigan State putting it on Dookie.
So that's my
putting
question.
So
if you're a Duke fan, and we got some Duke fans out there in the Durham, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area, but definitely in Durham, is it a glass half full or a glass half empty? Because you could argue that Duke won a game when they didn't really play that well, right? Seth Curry turned it on a little bit in the second half, but Ryan Kelly was terrible. And Kelly and Plumlee were playing with four fouls, and yet they still won the game and were never really in jeopardy of losing.
Well, because Jefferson was such a key off the bench. And
right.
I was telling
Jefferson
my son, Elijah. Elijah's a big Duke fan. I said, if Jefferson plays this well for you guys, imagine if he does this when Kelly and Plumlee are doing well.
Right.
You have a nice big man rotation. Jefferson played great. And Curry
you
at Thornton, you know,
Jefferson.
So...
And Suleiman.
Suleiman was
if you
good.
Get Suleiman and Jefferson and then Cook to contribute. So that's the half full argument, right? If you're a Duke fan, you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, we didn't even play a great game. And by the way,
yeah, you could say that. But you should be nervous.
Candidate.
You should be nervous because you better play a good game. You have to play a good game to beat Michigan State.
Right, right. To beat not only the talent that they have, but also Izzo, his coaching and his leadership, he'll exploit that. So in this bracket, so we've got a 1, a 2, a 3, and Oregon as a 12. So it's kind of like the other bracket that we talked about with Florida Gulf Coast, right? It's pretty much chalk with one huge upset. So this those two brackets look similar that way. So the South looks very similar to the Midwest, where you got 1, 2, 3, and 12 in the South, and you got 1, 3, 4, and 15, 1, 3, 4, and 15 in the South, and 1, 2, 3, and 12 in the Midwest.
Yeah, well, let's go to the final bracket.
Let's get it on. So here's the analogy. The number 2 seed, Duke, played poorly but won. Very similarly, the number 2 seed, Miami of Florida, played a very good Illinois team. This team will be great next year, so watch out for them in the Big Ten. But Illinois didn't have a great game. Shane Larkin didn't have a great game. They were inconsistent. They only put up 63 points, but...
Oh, you mean Miami didn't have a great game? Yeah.
They did.
No, Larkin wasn't... Yeah. Larkin, you know, but he hit that big shot. He hit that three. Just like
that
crap.
Step back three was the game right
that
there.
That was huge.
They were down one.
He iced the game with that, you know.
Yep.
That was the difference.
One.
And I think, you know, you don't think Durant Scott's going to play that, you know, so inconsistently, you know, next round, you know, sort of the same analogy with Duke. And I think that, you know, you're going to survive a tough game. And I think this is better than what Duke went through with Creighton because they beat him by 16. Miami, they were, you know, for these two ACC teams, Miami was tested by a strong Big Ten team in Illinois who had a lot of heart with Paul and all their guys. I think 63-59, Miami pulled out a little bit of a grinder, and I think that's good because they've been blowing people out this season. So I think that was good for Miami and them advancing.
So the next game, you got a 3 Marquette and a 6 Butler. And Marquette wins 74-72, but again, like Buzz Williams said, we could have easily lost either or both of our games, or I'm paraphrasing. But what did you think of your Marquette team? Now, is this the glass half full or the glass half empty?
Gardner, baby, Gardner. But 74-72, I got to tell
Vander
you.
Vander Blue, your boy Vander,
well,
at 29.
Vander,
I mean, he was unbelievable.
He can I tell you something? He said that we're not losing. He willed them, and you could see that in his effort. And just how he played, and give Brad Stevens a lot of credit. He's a great coach, and so is Buzz. This is a good matchup, and next year they'll both be in the Big East. So this is a preview
of
the.
How cool was Brad Stevens? His team was down 5 with 40 seconds left, and he was like, "No problem, okay." He didn't even use his timeout. He was calling plays from the sideline.
Well, Marquette threw that ball away. Oh my
God!
Marquette was trying to give the game. I was like, "Come on, man! They're giving me a heart attack." But you know what?
I actually thought Clark would take the ball and create his own shot or get a three for somebody. And I thought Butler had a very good chance to win once Marquette couldn't inbounds the ball.
I thought,
oh my goodness, they just gave it back. They just gave it back to Butler. But that last minute shot was way off because he stumbled and everything. But Marquette,
good defense too.
Marquette Miami. So that's going to be an interesting matchup.
That's
going to
be fun.
That one,
we'll definitely get into that. That's going to be fun. But how about for all of our Orange Man fans, our boy Fish, and I know a bunch of other Syracuse alum, Arik Mims, Syracuse, they look good, man. I mean, they were in a battle. I mean, Cal was not going anywhere. Pac-12 has shown itself to be strong in this tournament. But 66-60, you got to like Syracuse. I think Fair, got going a little bit early. You saw Michael Carter, Williams do his different things. Trish, I got to tell you, I think Boeheim, he's got a dangerous team, man. He's got a lot of talent. He's got a dangerous team.
But they're so inconsistent. And what I didn't like, and you got Keto and Coleman up front, they've got talent. C.J. Fair, when he plays, is a nice athletic wing, lefties.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some lefties.
Trish.
But, yeah, Brandon Trish, the senior, which kind of offsets the fact that MCW's a freshman. But what I didn't like about this game was that they didn't execute down the stretch. They had a few turnovers. They had missed their free throws. They did some things that fundamentally, because from now on, Syracuse as a 4 seed is probably, especially in that bracket, which we'll get into the fact that, Indiana won, but that bracket is 1, 2, 3, 4, right? So
it's
that bracket is chalk. So from now on, Syracuse is going to be, frankly, the underdog and, frankly, a worse team than every team they play from now on out, I think. So what will happen is they really have to execute down the stretch. And I think that the execution, they were a little shaky. And, again, I don't want to make too much of the last 5 minutes of a game that they ended up winning 66-60, but Syracuse needs to tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, hey, so does Indiana, right?
So does Indiana.
If it wasn't for my man, Naismith Play of the Year finalist, Victor O, like I call him, Victor Oladipo, great defensive play, hits the three. How clutch was Victor? Come on.
Oh, my God. Not only is he clutch, but I was actually watching it and with, some Indiana folks and people that are big alums and whatever. The thing that we talked about, Brad Stevens was cool, and it's one thing for a coach to be cool, but it's another thing for a player to be cool.
Yeah, he's
so
confident.
So Victor
Oladipo,
he's confident. The game doesn't get to him. He's like, okay, I got to go out and execute. And I thought that the play of the game was when, he tried for a steal, and they missed the steal. Yeah, on Wyatt misses the three, and then Victor Oladipo gets the rebound, and then from there on, Indiana took over. But again, advance and win is the motto. If you're,
survive and advance,
optimist, and that's how you got to look at this, because Indiana could easily have lost this game. Temple was up. Temple, and they had the
But
one.
Nobody helped Wyatt. That's the problem that I
Wyatt
have.
Was the
Wyatt
best player
had
on the
no
court.
Help. His top other two scorers, they didn't even do anything. They did nothing. So Wyatt was all alone. And I got to tell you, Wyatt has become my new favorite player, him and Baker on Wichita State. Wyatt is 6'4", 215. He's got a little Dwayne Wade in him. I think he's going to definitely make the NBA. I love his game, yo. He's legit. I got to tell you, I'm a big Wyatt fan. Temple, they had this. Oh, they got to be killing themselves this morning. They had it, man.
Yeah, could you imagine if Temple and LaSalle would both be? Oh, they'd be going crazy in Philly. You'd have two of the big five in the Sweet 16.
definitely.
Killing themselves. Lionel Simmons
definitely.
Out there cheering for his LaSalle team, and you know, Temple, we got all these Temple alums. How cool would they be? You know, all the ex John Chaney players would have been real, you know, would have been ecstatic, and they had that game. So yeah, there's something to build on for next year. But
well, you know what?
What
I love about Wyatt though, this kid, man, 20 points a game. He's got a little turnovers, averaged 3 turnovers a game, averaged 20 points and 4 assists a game. I like this kid, man. I'm telling you, he's going to be a one to watch in the pros. He had a good season this year for Temple. You know, hey, 20, when you can get 20 points in college and 4 assists, you're playing some ball.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
But shout out to Indiana, man. You know,
yeah,
they
shout
did
out
what they
to
had
him.
To. Wofford, how about Wofford though? He played nice.
And the thing that I liked about Christian Wofford is that, you know, he's known for hitting those big threes. He had that big three against Kentucky last year, and you know he's hitting the three on the trailer, right? Yogi or Jordan Hulls or somebody passes him the ball, you know, and Will Sheehy. They got a nice little rotation. But I like the fact that block shot that he made at the end of the game, right? He came over, helped defense. They tried to get the steal, didn't get the steal. He made the clean block. So these Indiana kids, you know, again, I have them winning it all. So, you know, I do think that ultimately they could put 4 more wins together. But what I liked about them is they were resilient.
I don't know against Miami.
Well, we'll see. First, they got to get through Syracuse, but we'll see. So much more college to talk about. We've got, you know, later this week. So we got games on Thursday and Friday. What is this?
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Round 4, I guess. Oh, this new...
Yes, round 4. Don't get it twisted, Ray.
Round 4. So starting
don't get it twisted.
7:15, right, with Marquette, Miami. We'll have a lot more to say about that. But so far, look, we had 2 brackets that had, you know, huge upsets. So we have a 13 and a 15, and then we have a 9 and a 12. So I said 4 double digits. Technically, the Wichita State's a 9, so not really a double digit. Well, we got 4, you know, 9 through 15 seeds in the Sweet 16. So that's great. That's awesome. And in terms of conferences, what do you think? Did the Big Ten?
Well, look, it's 4 for Big Ten.
The best conference.
Yeah, I mean they're still the best. I mean, you know, it's so funny. Barkley was ripping them, and then he's like, "Well, I said these 4, but originally he was like, oh, you know, I don't know how good they're gonna do." Listen, they got 4 in there. They're the most dominant. They got 4 is the most in the Sweet 16. Big East got 3, so they're right there. The 2 best conferences all year, you know. And then you got the ACC with 2, the Pac-12 with 2. SEC and Big 12 at 1, and then you got all these other teams, you know, from Wichita, Florida Gulf, LaSalle. So, you know, it's look, at the end of the day, you're probably going to get a champion from the Big East or the Big Ten, and they'll probably play each other. I still believe Louisville, Indiana will play each other for the cut down the net.
Different
style, it's gonna be a classic.
But a great game.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what? Let's take a quick break, and then let's get to the rest of the news and NBA, NFL, golf, and NASCAR. We'll be right back. Ray and Tech.
We're back. So now, what we usually do in the beginning of the show, we'll get into now, which is breaking news in the world of sports. And we'll cover some other, you know, some league information. But let's get that breaking news out of the way. So what?
Well,
you
know what I wanted to tell you before we get to the NBA, because, you know, it's getting really hot with these streaks. But real quick, the Yankees made a trade to get Vernon Wells. I'm excited. We need him. Derek Jeter's on the DL. Probably missed the first 5 or 6 games. And we need another bat, and I think Vernon Wells helps with, you know, all these guys, Granishin and Teixeira, and, you know, even though he's a righty bat, they kind of need a lefty bat. I'm kind of happy to get Vernon Wells. A veteran, he's older, but he still gets it done. And that's
right.
What the Yankees need right now.
So that's one. You know, we got Tiger Woods at Bay Hill. You know, he's up 3 on Ricky Fowler through 12. So he's at 14 under, so it looks like he's going to win, and he's going to get the number 1 ranking back.
Yeah.
So Tiger looks like he's back, getting ready for the Masters in a couple weeks, in a few weeks.
Not surprised by that, though. Got to say, not surprised by that.
Yeah, not surprising. And another piece of breaking news that I don't know if you saw, but over the weekend, our boy Ray Williams died. So we didn't even get into that, but at 58, Ray Williams.
R.I.P. The guard, number 13.
Yep, 6'3", Ray Williams. Played with the Knicks. Yeah, so he had some issues off the court, but, yeah, rest in peace to Ray Williams. Always will be a Knick in our heart. First-round pick in 77, played four seasons with the Knicks, then came back and played with the Knicks again, played with the Nets. So, you know, a lot of local flavor. So, yeah, shout-out to Ray Williams and his family. Rest in peace. So that's a sad news, especially when somebody dies at the age of 58. That's just too young.
Yeah, that's rough. And then before we get to the NBA, we got with the NFL, Doomerville, with all that fax machine foolishness, signs 5 years, $35 million. He got $8.5 guaranteed with the Baltimore Ravens. Not too bad for the champs, right? They lose all these guys, but then they get a pass rusher that they so desperately need.
Them. That definitely helps them. And so they lost Kruger, but they still have Doomerville and Suggs. Of course, they lost Ellerby. Lewis retires. Ed Reed is gone. So they've got some holes to fill. But adding Doomerville is definitely a plus for them. And it shows the fan, hey, it's not just a net outflow of players. Because the fans would get upset. They'd be like, wait a minute, we see our roster, our Super Bowl-winning roster, and then we start ticking them off, and Matt Burke retired, so we've got two retirees and then four guys we lose in free agency and Bolden on offense and the other guys we mentioned on defense. So they've got to show, and Ozzie's got to show, not only to the players but also to the fans that, hey, you know, we're not just giving up. I mean, we don't think, or I don't think anyway, that they'll make the playoffs, but at least – they haven't thrown in the towel, right? It's not like, oh, we won our Super Bowl.
Right, but you can only do what you could financially do at the end of the day.
Of course.
And I think doing that was their, like, one, you know, bullet it left in the chamber, and they got a good bullet because Doomerville is very talented, and he's still young. So a five-year deal, he'll play those 5 years and play pretty well. Looks like OC is going to sign with the Atlanta Falcons, and then maybe Freeney replaces Doomerville in Denver. So we'll see how that plays out in the next couple of days. And the NFL free agency, you know, just rolls on. What'd you say, Harry? Where's Hayward Bay going?
Oh, Hayward Bay is looking around. I don't think I think he was visiting. He was visiting a couple teams, and nobody. Look, Darius Hayward Bay. That's your boy from Michigan. You know, he's visiting the Colts.
Maryland, yeah.
Michigan from Maryland, right? But number 7 overall pick, Al Davis picked him. Because they thought
he was drafted too early. He doesn't know how to run patterns. He's just a speedster. Man, I'll be honest and say it. You know, I love my Terps, but
and Jamarcus Russell, they were supposed to recreate, you know, Cliff Branch and Jim Plunkett over the top, but it didn't happen. But you know, Hayward Bay had a decent couple years. He should never have been a first round pick. Once you have that stigma of a bust, it's hard to recapture that. But maybe he'll go to the Colts. Maybe, you know, work with Andrew Luck. And hopefully he can have a good, you know, 4 or 5 years in Indianapolis and contribute. He still has speed, right? So that's always going to help.
Yeah, speaking of speed, let's talk about LeBron last night. 26 in a row, no Dwayne Wade. They were down 11 to Charlotte, come back again. He had 32, 8, 12, 3, and 3. MVP. Ridiculous.
Those are video game numbers.
I don't know if I could even get that right now on 2K13.
You can't do that on
he's
NFL, on Xbox or PlayStation?
Yeah, on the PlayStation, numbers. Man. NBA 2K, I don't know if I can get that. Yo, LeBron is, what else can we say, man?
And that was without Wade. Wade was out that game.
Listen, they're in a special place right now, and you just want to see it continue, right? I mean, they play Orlando, which gave them a tough game on the streak where LeBron had to hit, you know, that shot on the buzzer. And then coming up soon, then they go to Chicago, and then coming up soon, you're going to have maybe the battle with the Spurs. Yeah. And then the
Nuggets.
Yeah,
well, we want to see that. And, you know, for them – I'm just hoping that it's not too early, but hopefully they'll continue this momentum you know, the playoffs are still 3 weeks away, and there's still, you know, a decent amount of basketball left in the regular season, and their first round playoff match right now is Milwaukee. So, you know, I don't think there's a fear that Milwaukee will knock them off. So from their perspective, you know, you just want to see them get healthy, right? I feel like the streak might – but they sat Dwayne Wade, so I think that's good. I think they'd be willing to sacrifice this streak in order to win a championship.
Right, but they said Wade will probably play. He's probably going to play tonight, so that's a good sign.
No, but
I'm
saying it's good that he rested, right? I'd hate for play a guy that shouldn't – you know, play a guy in favor of the streak but might hurt you for the playoffs. You know?
No, I think they
ultimately it's about championship.
No, you're right. They want the championship, but I think, you know, where, you know, at 15 and at 18 they were like, oh, you know, this they're just playing ball. I think now they're smelling the history, and I think they want it. I really think that this team wants it. I think they want to go down to, you know, where people could say they might be one of the best teams ever. Because even LeBron was talking about history, and he was like, hey, look at that 70-71 Lakers. If we're being honest, a lot of the best players were in the ABA, and he's right. You know, you still had Julius and all these other guys in the ABA when this streak went down in 70-71. So, you know, the Heat are going up against some great teams. There's, you know, you could say that, listen, in the East, you know, there's not so many great teams, but you play against the Knicks, Pacers, there's some tough teams, you know.
The West,
you go against OKC and the Spurs and the Clippers, they're some really good teams. Heat are just doing it. I mean, you know, you can't take anything away from them.
Speaking of good teams and speaking of streaks, don't tell anybody. We have a secret. The Denver Nuggets have won 15 in a row, and if it weren't for the Heat, you know, at 26 – everybody would be talking about the Nuggets and how they're in the number three seed in the, you know, in the Western Conference.
Incredible. So, they're playing great.
Yeah.
I can't say anything but kudos to them.
Yeah. Now, they have New Orleans tonight, and then they have San Antonio on Wednesday. So it turns out San Antonio Spurs are right in the middle of the Nuggets and the Heat streaks in the next week or 10 days.
And they're only a game and a half up on the OKC.
Right. So what do you think about Denver? I mean,
I
got to
tell
you,
I think this Denver team, I think I still, like I told Ed Odevan, who from the Japan Times, who was on our show, told him on Twitter, we still got to see what happens in the playoffs, but they are the most exciting team to watch play. They're great at home, and I love it. I mean, look, they win 69% of their games. They're having a great season. I mean, when you're 49-22, you're doing big things, you know.
Now here's the thing: as great as they are, and as great as a 15 game winning streak is,
they could still lose in the first round.
Well, not only could they still lose in the first round, but they are tied in the loss column at 22 with the Clippers and the Grizzlies. So if they take a breather and play normally and win, let's say, 6 out of 10 games, they could drop into fifth place. So their whole playoff outlook could change, right? They could be the 3 seed, you know, potentially playing a Golden State right now, or they could drop to 5 and have to play at Memphis or at the Clippers in the first round.
And you don't
want to
do that. Don't want to do that. I think if they go down to 5 and they are on the road against the Clippers or Memphis, they'll lose a 7-game series. But if they're at home against Golden State, the Denver Nuggets will be in the second round, ladies and gentlemen. They will definitely be in the second round. And I can say that with, you know, a lot of confidence. And no disrespect to the Golden State Warriors. They are definitely a good team. And Mark Jackson is, you know, could be up there for Coach of the Year, but they're dropping off a little bit. The Warriors have not been playing so great. And now at 40-31, you know, they're actually almost, you know, tied with Houston. Houston's 39-31. So Houston right now is just a half a game back from moving into that sixth spot. So Denver-Houston, that's interesting because they both like to run. That could wind up happening. So Golden State's not even locked in. You know,
yeah,
that's what's so funny. Houston's been playing so well. Oh, the West is crazy. And then the Lakers,
well, even
right?
The Knicks,
the Lakers.
I mean, even in the East,
well,
the Knicks and Indiana are jockeying for
We're
that
back.
Number 2 spot.
Yes. Don't diss my Knicks. We had back-to-back wins over Toronto. Carmelo just came back and was killing it. And, you know, we're in a nice position where, you know, we're one ahead, 26 losses, Pacers have 27. I think the Knicks are going to hold on and get the 2 seed. I just think the Pacers are a mess, and I think the Knicks are going to pull it together.
Well, you know what I like about this? If you follow the chatter on Twitter and on social media, what's fun for me to see is that while the playoffs are going on and the NBA guys are in the playoff run and everything, they are all, you know, with the exception of very few players and some of the elite players, are all college alums. Some of them graduated, some of them didn't. And what I like to see is how fired up they are.
Eric Gordon was fired up?
Yeah, about their teams, about the, you know, the Indianas of the world and the Miamis of the world and the Ohio States
Michigan
of the world.
State guys.
And the Syracuse.
Yo, our boy Charlie Bell was at the game. Remember Charlie Bell, that championship team?
Of course. Of course.
And the team Cleaves and Sean
Respert.
Yeah,
that 2000 team that won the title, and Sean Respert before that in the 90s for Michigan State, Sparty. So it's great.
You're right.
You know
it's great. It's great to see that.
It just shows you that this format of 64 or 68 down to one, playing it over 2.5 weeks, is just great.
And if college football needs to learn from this,
you know,
they really got to learn.
There's nothing more exciting
than March Madness. Everybody gets involved. Listen, I got to tell you, people in my neighborhood, you know, one of the friends of, you know, my little son, they went to Creighton. You know, so they were excited yesterday for watching Creighton against Duke, and unfortunately, you know, they lost. But, you know, I mean, it just, everybody gets into it, man. You know, you can't help it. I mean, even people who are not sports fans. My wife, she's sitting there watching the Temple game with me, and she was like, wow, she can't stand sports. She's not into it at all, but she was like, she loved that Temple game. You know what I mean? And that's what it's all about. Like, people get really into it because, you know what it is? The competition. And you see these kids diving and cuts and bleeding. The kid from Oregon had the elbow all scratched up and jacked up. People play ball. The kids play ball, man. And the passion.
And you also have – and this you won't really have if you get – you know, in college. It's not their fault. But you also have this notion of a Cinderella story. You also have this notion. And it's palpable. So when you're in the arena, you can actually feel it. If the game is close in the second half, most of the time you'll see the crowd. There's this undercurrent for the underdog. It's so fun to watch.
It's so
cool when everybody, especially because it's a neutral site. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, playing in Kansas City, which is close to Lawrence, Kansas, and the Kansas Jayhawks are there. You know, and frankly, North Carolina's having a bad year. They're an 8 seed, but they're a Goliath themselves, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when you see the fans who don't know much, and not their fault,
yeah,
they don't know much.
But that's
about
happened in Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah, or
Wichita State, you know,
or even a LaSalle, and they start pulling for them, and
you have to root for them, right? That's what's so great. You have to, and it's the same thing when you're at home in front of your TV or in a sports bar. You see that this lower seed, I mean, this higher seed, a 12, a 13, 11, a 9, a 15. You're like, they could do this. You know, same thing with Harvard. I was like, I'm rooting for Harvard right now. You know what I mean? It was awesome. So, I mean, that's what it's all about, and it's exciting. And obviously, you know, on Wednesday we will bring you our picks for the Sweet 16, you know, and we'll be back on Friday or possibly Saturday to discuss it, you know. I mean, we'll see. But we'll definitely be back on Wednesday. And Ray and I are working on a March Madness special guest. We got our baseball preview show coming up April 3rd. That should be fun. It's heating up, man.
We got a
lot
of sports. Oh, yeah, fired up. March is a great month, and then baseball is right around the corner with its start and basketball playoffs in mid-April. So it's all heating up, and we'll be right there with you. So, again, thank you for listening. We've got plenty more sports for you. Now, if you got a special topic, if you've got a special, you know, interest in the show, let us know. You know, we'll be bringing our segments back because there's been so much March Madness. We've got,
Wednesday,
we put our segments
we'll
on hold. But if you have some ideas for us, we're open to ideas. We don't have all of the great ideas. There's plenty of great ideas out
there.
Have Where You At Wednesday. So where have you been for players of prominence in college or in the pros? They don't have to be stars, but people that we liked. Then we also have you know, flashback
top
to
five.
Old players, top mm-hmm. five. We've got You're Not Ready. We've got people that we've underestimated or dissed. We've got a whole bunch of segments that we like,
yeah.
you know, Champs and Chumps on Mondays. We got I'm Sorry, where we apologize to teams that we didn't give enough
or
credit
players.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah, or players. So, yeah, send us your emails, your tweets. We love the interactivity, and let's keep it going. So.
And check out RayandTayToday.com. We'll be back Wednesday. Ray and Tay Today. Peace.
Cause I knew Santa Claus couldn't save my soul. If you had the cars that I had to hold since I was 9 years old, trust me when I tell you, the next year would fold. More than just bold, bullets over Broadway. It went down the Harlem Broadway. Pops were shot, moms was too. Dad is dead and moms was shot in the head. And now she's home just lounging and chilling in the bed. Truth is I spit nights and most of y'all off the top of my head. Shoot a jaw and I spray all day. I give two F's about to say about May. I'm just here to bring that crazy poetry. Sometimes I got that speak truth attitude. Don't you understand that I'm a little bit rude? Lyrically shrewd, switch up my mood. I used to be the type to steal your honey type of dude. And now I'm working on my bad attitude.